Okay, good morning everybody. Great to see you here. My name is Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here. We're a little thin on the ground. I'll just look around. So I'm going to make these announcements, I'm going to let them sort of draw out a long time so that by the time I'm finished we'll have a lot more people in the room ready for the message. No, it's great to see you here. If you're new, we're so grateful you're here. Thank you for coming. And we've got a few ways for you to get connected and get to know us a little bit if you'd like to do that, and we'd love to get to know you. So take advantage of some of these. First thing is, in the community flyer that comes out every week, you'll notice in there there's a connect card, and you can just fill that out, and you can drop that in one of the towers as you head out, or leave it in one of these baskets at the side. It's just a tear-off sheet of paper on the back there. You can let us know some of your details that way. That's also, by the way, you may have been coming for a while, but have never signed up on our website or signed up to receive some of our mailings and things like that. You know, we send out, not too often, but periodically we'll send out something on email. I'll mention about that in a moment. But fill out that connect card. So, you may not be new, but you just want to let us know your details, or perhaps they've changed. Just fill that out, drop it off in one of the baskets or in those wooden towers in front of the exit doors at the back there. So please do take advantage of that. Again, if you're new, we have something called Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes. So if you'd like to meet somebody and talk a little bit, ask some questions, have a live conversation, again, we'd love to do that. We meet in the back corner there right after the service. So just come along and find us back there. We'd love to chat with you. We have a few things coming up. Let me also mention we've got the fall quarterly newsletter. Don't know whether you've had a look at that. We've got that on our website. You can download it there, read it. It's also available in hard copy out in the lobby. Lots of really great articles from people in our community looking at sort of, it's got a holiday flavor to it as well. So do check that out. And again, if you want to get a copy of this sent to you, you will get one if you are signed up. So use that Connect card in the community flyer. And that way we'll have your details and we can send that to you every time it comes out, every quarter. So do check that out. We have a few things coming up. We've got the holidays coming, obviously, which is a really big deal. And we want to really celebrate together as we head into Advent. Hard to believe, but next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Can you believe that? Incredible. So we'll be all together next Sunday. So all ages, we'll have a special service to head into Advent. Please do come along to that. We've got a lot of people traveling over the holidays with Thanksgiving and everything, but we'll have a great service and we'll all be in together. And the theme for the Advent for us this year, it's going to be joy, with a special emphasis on prayer. So we're going to be, in fact, next Sunday starting that off with a service where we'll have lots of different prayer stations around the room. It's going to be pretty interactive, and I think you'll really enjoy it, and it will kind of set us up to head into Advent in a special way. We'll talk more about that next week, but do come along for that. Also wanted to mention that on Friday the 5th, so that's the first Friday of December, we have our traditional Advent party. So that will be over in the barn beginning at 7. There'll be lots of great food and drink, and also there'll be people selling fair trade gifts. So it's a great time to do some early Christmas shopping. I don't know whether you call that early these days, but because it's December. I mean, people are doing Christmas shopping already, right? It's just, a little early. You'll be able to, we'll have 10,000 villages there and some other vendors who will be selling things that, ethically sourced goods that are high quality as well. So come along and buy some of those. And, the main thing is to have a great time together. I don't know whether any of you have been to that one before the Advent party, but it's always a great celebration too. So come along. That's Friday the 5th at 7. Okay, one last thing I wanted to mention before we pray. Did I say Saturday? Sorry, it's Saturday, not Friday. You're right. Sorry. Thanks for reading the slides up there. Sorry, it's Saturday. I think it used to be on a Friday. It's Saturday, the 5th of December. Apologies for that. Okay, so you're not going to forget that now because there's a little, that's great. Deliberate on my part, just so you know. Okay, last thing is right after the service today, we're going to have a potluck lunch. And that's going to be soup and salad. Some people have made some homemade soups, soup and bread. People have brought homemade soups, and we're going to enjoy those together. Just want to encourage everybody to stay behind for that. It's the main focus is that we'll just spend time together, get to know one another. Again, if you're new, there'll be a special table where you can get some information. So, you know, if you want to find out a little bit more about our church, that's a great way, and you can meet more people that way too. Also, after that, or towards the end of that, we're going to be decorating the church for Advent. Okay, so if you are able to stay behind and help us decorate, that would be a huge help. It's okay to have the soup and bread and then go, all right? We're not going to sort of police that. But you can just feel guilty for the rest of the day about it. You know, that's okay. No, we realize some people have to get off, so that's fine. But, you know, if you can stay and help us decorate, that would be really great. Okay, so let's pray together before we go on any further. We have a prayer that we're going to say together that's going to appear up on the screens. Okay, so I'll say a part, and then there's a part for us all to repeat back. God of all comfort, God of all grace, God of heaven and earth, we welcome you here in our church and in our hearts. This is your church. Well, we were a little hasty there. Can we? Yeah. And we turn our hearts to you. God of glory, God of hope, God of peace, give us eyes to see you and ears to hear you in the music and the message, in the quiet and in each other. Help us to sense your presence and action today and every day. Amen. Okay, we're in a series at the moment on prayer, and we're actually going to round that off today, and Melanie's going to come and share us. So let's welcome Melanie.
A few more people here now. So I am Melanie Griffin. And I am on the pastoral team here today. So we are continuing our series on prayer today, and we'll be wrapping up next week at that Advent prayer service. I really hope you'll come to that. I think it'll be fun. And we've had lots of food for thought over the past couple weeks about prayer. And I hope you've been engaging in your discipleship groups in some of the prayer activities in the group and then during the week. If you're not familiar with it, we have small groups here during the week called discipleship groups, and we sort of track what we're doing on Sundays, and so we've been doing some prayer practices. And we've been talking about some pretty heady stuff, like who is God, what is God like, the kingdom of God, the tradition of prayer throughout all of history in the church. But we keep coming back, really, to something pretty simple, in theory, of opening ourselves up to relationship and communication with a good and loving God. But what's the goal of all this communication and relationship? They're kind of cultural buzzwords these days, you know, connections. But let's look at some scripture where Jesus is literally praying for us in 2015 and see what the goal of his prayer is. I'm praying not only for them, he's been praying for his disciples, and now he's turning to pray for a broader group. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. That's us. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they will be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. So Jesus' goal in praying for us is that we would have the heart and mind of Jesus, so that we can show God's love to the world. And we're talking about serious transformation here, right? As individuals, as a church, as a worldwide church community, becoming so Christ-like that we are completely unified with Jesus and with God, of one mind and one heart. And the way we move towards that transformation is through connection, through prayer. Now, this is a really tall order. And it's why the Bible tells us to be persistent in prayer, to pray without ceasing, to pray continuously, to pray in all circumstances. I think that our highest aim as followers of Jesus should be to spend more time in prayer. Every minute, every day, every hour, We should be connecting with God through prayer because that's how we experience God and become one heart and mind with Jesus. And that's how God changes our hearts and draws us to be agents of love in the world. So I'm going to up the ante today and talk about turning our whole lives into prayer. Prayer not so much as an act, but more as a state of being. And how might we get there? Well, Barbara Brown Taylor is an Episcopal priest and a respected theologian, and she writes in her book, An Altar in the World, to say I love God, but I do not pray much, is like saying, I love life, but I do not breathe much. But then she goes on to say, I am a failure at prayer. When people ask me about my prayer life, my mind starts scrambling for ways to hide my problem. I start talking about other things I do that I hope will make me sound like a godly person. I try to say admiring thing about prayer so that there could be no doubt how important I think it is. I ask the other person about her prayer life, hoping she will not notice that I have changed the subject. I would rather confess that I'm a rotten godmother, that I struggle with my weight, that I fear I am overly fond of Bombay Sapphire Gin Martinis, than confess that I am a prayer weakling. So if you struggle with prayer and you wonder how you could ever turn your whole life into prayer, you're in good company. I think that most of us do. But with a world as full of hate and fear and division as it is right now, we have to at least give this a try. The world needs God's love. Amen?
Amen.
So it's our job to bring it to them. That's what that prayer from Jesus said. I think that we make prayer harder than it needs to be. We have a lot of misconceptions, looking for the right words when prayer is really beyond words, and looking for the right methods when prayer isn't a technique, it's a relationship. I can tend to focus on personal spiritual growth instead of simply being in God's company and getting to know God's ways. I fall into this mentality of doing instead of being. I think that prayer is supposed to be some kind of achievement or something instead of just being in the presence of someone. It's an experience, not an outcome. So we shouldn't let prayer intimidate us. I think we make it too big and too complicated. It's mysterious, but it's not magical. As Ruth said last week, it should be as simple as a child talking to her mother. So today I want to help us simplify. I said I was going to up the ante, but I also kind of want to bring down the tone. I want to get down to basics and find a way to remain open and engaged with God all the time. It's important for us not to get scared off or to give up thinking that we're failures at prayer. So just for this morning, set aside your struggles with prayer, and we're going to start with a blank slate. And I don't mean to say that we will or even should always experience God or have particular feelings or emotions or feel close to God. A lot of times our intense longing for God when God seems absent can transform us more than anything else. The very act of reaching out to what seems like a silent God grows our faith. I think of Mother Teresa's stories and her struggles with feeling alone. At any rate, don't anticipate outcomes. Our walk with God and our transformation happens over time. So we should focus on our intention. It is our intention, what am I doing here? Our intention should be to connect with God, to simply keep company with God. And the more we're with Jesus, the more easily we can recognize his voice, and then we may be naturally begin to emulate him and share his heart more. Keeping company with God is about being conscious and aware that God is always, always here, present to us. All we have to do is wake up and become aware of God's presence and action inside us and around us and in each other. Attentiveness is an art, and as we practice it, we get better at it. Brother David Stendelrast is a Benedictine monk, a scholar and speaker, and he says that prayer is waking up to the presence of God no matter where you are or what you're doing. And here's how he puts it. When I am fully alert to whatever or whoever is right in front of me, when I am electrically aware of the tremendous gift of being alive, when I am able to give myself wholly to the moment I am in, then I am in prayer. Prayer is happening, and it's not necessarily something that I am doing. God is happening, and I am lucky enough to know that I am in the midst. This electrical awareness is sometimes called practicing the presence of God. And we do have to practice it. As ubiquitous as God's presence is, most of the time we just aren't fully aware of it. So we need to practice seeing with new eyes and hearing with new ears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, as Jesus said. Practicing the presence of God is like practicing anything. It involves recognizing and letting go of old habits so that we can make space for healthy new habits. And this is always a challenge. The main challenge in prayer, and I think really in the whole spiritual life, is letting go of the old habit of ego. Our self-absorbed, busy false selves, the ones that harbor all our agendas and ambitions, that have defenses and resentments, the ones with the need for power and control and recognition that we've talked about here before. Most of the time, we aren't even aware of these voices in our heads. We're so used to them, a running commentary on life, jockeying for position, judging others, protecting ourselves, forming knee-jerk opinions on stuff we know nothing about. When our minds are left to their natural devices, they just naturally go there. Our egos keep us really busy and very distracted, and they don't like turning over the reins to our more spirit-centered, healthy selves. And yet, if we're going to practice the presence of God, we have to make space and stop practicing the presence of our blustering John Wayne egos. We have to recognize and then surrender our false selves to make room for our true selves to spend time with God. Our true spirits, who we are in Christ, must be the ones that connect with God. Our egos are just too arrogant to connect. Deep calls to deep, as the Bible says. True self calls to true God. Here's what it says in the Message paraphrase of 1 John. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. So the opposite of that connection. We've devoted whole sermons to the surrender of the false self, and there are tomes written about it. But all you really have to remember is that God is God, and you are not. Say that with me. God is God, and I am not. So you're no more God than the person sitting next to you. You're no more important than the person sitting next to you. That's just simply surrendering to reality. Now, I have a simple practice that I think can help us surrender our worldly egos and put us in the right frame of mind for practicing God's presence. Because that's what we're talking about, is a new mindset, renewing your mind, as Paul said, new perspective. One where God is God, and you are not, and God is here now. And our whole job is to stop our chattering egos and be open to God. That's the key to turning your life into prayer. Just turn off that voice and open to God. So this exercise might make you feel uncomfortable, but too bad, because we are talking about change and transformation, and that can be uncomfortable. So set aside your egos. Don't worry about what anyone thinks. We're going to practice a simple chant together. It's an ancient Christian tradition. If you visited monasteries, you've probably heard monks chant, which is a wonderful experience. The words are from Psalm 46. And they are, be still and know that I am God. It's that simple, but when we sing them either alone or in a group, in a rhythmic, prayerful chant, as people have for centuries, we might truly be able to be still and know. It becomes more than words, it resonates in us, and we become the prayer. So, do you want to put those words up there, please? So here's how it'll work. We're going to repeat shorter and shorter phrases, and each time we'll draw out the last syllable of the word, as long as you comfortably have breath. And I'll ring a bell in between each phrase to give us the note. So you want to give it some breath, because we want to draw it out. And I don't have all that much breath. So this will be fun, trust me. I can't believe I'm doing this. Okay. So it'll be still and know that I am God. And then be still and know that I am. Got it? All right. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be You know what? Let's do that again. Now that you're comfortable with it. And if you feel a harmony coming on, go ahead and sing that harmony, but stick with the one note to your chant. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Amen. So there's a practice that can help you set aside your ego and center in God. It's a great thing to do in the car. As you drive to work, you can kind of hum it under your breath at times. Probably don't want to burst into a chant in the middle of a business meeting. But there are simpler practices, like breath prayers that we've done here before, that you can use during a meeting using a phrase from Scripture just to bring you back, just to make you attentive to God's presence like that. The Jesus Prayer is an ancient one that some monks and nuns repeat thousands of times every day, silently. On the in-breath, Lord Jesus Christ. On the out-breath, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That one comes from Luke 18, where the Pharisee's making all these fancy prayers, and then the tax collector comes in and just offers this humble prayer. And you can practice that prayer also on other people, like the annoying person in that business meeting. You can say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on them. And as they're going off, you can just be breathing a prayer for them silently. And imagine if that breath prayer actually became the soundtrack in your head instead of the chattering busyness and ego stuff going on. Another good one is God sees me, God knows me. God sees me, God knows me. One of my favorites is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I say that all the time. There's the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh, is a really good one. And actually, it sounds a little like Darth Vader, but if you do it with your mouth slightly open, it sounds like you're breathing. And that can be beautiful, as if you're taking a walk outside. And of course, it puts more oxygen in your brain, too, and is good for you all around. Now, the Jewish people have a sort of pledge that many of them say every morning and every night. It's called the Shema. It's the first prayer that a Jewish child's taught. You might recognize it from the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Jesus added all your mind to that list. You could say that in the morning, every morning when you wake up, or choose a bit of a psalm, just something that you like. Try using the same prayer every day when you wake up in the morning, just a bit of a psalm or something. So it's the first thing that comes to mind when you wake up. Like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now imagine if you woke up every single day and that was the first thought in your mind. And also try this, using the same one before you go to sleep. So I sing in the shadow of your wings. Something relaxing that you can say every night just as you fall asleep. Think of these suggestions that I'm making as markers that you can just intentionally place throughout your day just to remind you of God's presence. They're a good place to start refocusing your mind, creating a new track in your brain. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. So we're kind of training our brain to be still and connect. So start where you are and start small. You don't have to do anything fancy. So have a regular time for some couple times for breath prayers throughout the day, maybe a chant in the car if you like that. It's really important to relax and keep it simple and natural for you, because to change habits, you want to be dedicated and regular. If it's uncomfortable or it's too much all at once, you'll give up quickly and you'll just toss out the idea of turning your life into prayer. You want to let it happen gradually and don't try to change everything all at once. You can fit these little markers into your existing routine. I know we're all really busy. We might as well just accept that. And you can actually take advantage of that, because there's so many transitions throughout our day because we're so busy doing so many different things. Every one of those transitions can be a little opportunity for prayer, perhaps a little ritual. So every time you send an email, touch your heart to bless the person that you sent the email to, whether you know them or not. Every time you hang up the phone, ask Jesus to bless that person. Do a 1 minute breath prayer in between meetings or classes. Every time you go into your office or your cubicle or your classroom or your room at home, look for something to thank God for, something different. Every time you walk in there, just a little quick connection, a quick acknowledgement that you are in the presence of God, and every gift is a breath. Every breath is a gift. Actually, this would be a good week to do that little Thanksgiving prayer, since it's Thanksgiving. So start small and simple, but be intentional and regular about it. I'm going to go into really sacred territory here and talk about your cell phones. Now, I'm not going to tell you not to use them like I told you not to watch TV last year. people didn't talk to me after that for a while. But if you don't do it yourself, you see everyone else doing it, right? Checking their cell phone at every transition throughout the day. You're at a restaurant, you come back from the restroom, the other person's looking at their cell phone. After a conversation, you come in or out of a building, when you get into your car, after a meeting. If you don't do it, you see everyone else doing it. Just a constant check-in. And that's a new habit. We didn't have these cell phones not long ago. So think of checking in with God like you check in with your cell phone. What's up? What's happening that I should see? What do you have to say? What image do you have for me? Find ways to do that with God. Maybe every time you check your cell phone, check in with God. Well, you could change your background picture just to remind you to do that somehow. As you come to appreciate these little touch points throughout your day, you might find yourself purposely leaving a little extra time in between meetings or activities so you can be intentional about prayer during the day. 5 minutes here, 3 minutes there, a walk at lunch to talk to God. That connection with God is refreshing, and you'll want more of it once you get started. It brings balance to your day. It's kind of like a home base, you know, getting safe. Jesus clearly noticed and appreciated the small things in the present moment. Kernels of wheat between his fingers, the textures of different types of soil, sparrows, lilies, he connected them all to God. So as you're engaging this way, when you start spending more time with God, really notice those little things. Notice everything about what you're engaged in. You want to engage your body, too. Offer every task as you begin. Offer it to God. If you're doing something that doesn't engage your mind too much, like cooking or cleaning or gardening or exercising, mowing the lawn. These are all great opportunities just to have a talk with God while you're engaging your body, more of an active prayer. Love the Lord your God with all your strength in all you do. And notice while you're doing that the smells and textures and sensations, the pavement under your feet as you're jogging, which I would not be familiar with. The food, if you're cooking, preparing food, your breath, if you're exercising. And when you're paying more attention and noticing things around you, an easy and natural outgrowth from that is one of gratitude, thanking God for your ability to move, for the food you're preparing, for the home you're coming into, for the car you're getting into, for the yard you're raking. Everything you experience, try experiencing it as a gift. Then as we practice gratitude and recognize more and more that all good things come from God, our love for God grows and overflows to the people around us, and our prayers overflow. So with practice, we can talk to God at the same time we're talking to someone else, not look like a nut. You kind of let that soundtrack go in the back of your mind, asking God, how can I best love this person? Is there something you want me to notice, something you want me to say to them? Involve God in your conversations. Let God's Spirit interact with the way you're interacting with a person. As we're in these conversations and activities, we should constantly offer up our worries and anxieties and frustrations instead of acting on them or fretting on them. So if you're in a conversation, you start getting stirred up, turn it over immediately. Talk about them like you would with a friend. No details too small to bring to God. No need. I really think that the more you bring your whole life, all of your moods, all of your needs to God, it helps you build trust and love in God. I'm a big believer in parking place prayers. Can I see hands? There are other parking place prayers. Why not, right? God doesn't want me to be stressed out. So I think it's just really important to turn over these worries and concerns and every little thing, because so much of our negative behavior comes from fear and anxiety. In a letter to the people in Philippi, the Apostle Paul wrote this. We heard this last week as well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there it is again, keeping your hearts and your minds in Jesus, that goal. As we get closer to the heart of God, we start seeing changes in ourselves. And I know a lot of you have talked to me about this, and especially in my discipleship group, we do see changes. We might be more patient or be angry less often. Maybe you don't criticize yourself as much, that little nattering negative voice in your head. Once you experience God's acceptance and love and delight in you more often, you quiet that voice down. You might look for things to appreciate in other people instead of things to judge. You might live in the present more often, not worry about the past and the future. You might notice needs more often and then naturally want to help out with them. These are all the fruits of a full life of prayer, gradually becoming who we're meant to be, recipients and agents of God's love and hope. Well, these kind of connections with God give us serenity and balance day to day, but just as with any relationship, sometimes you have to get away together and spend quality time alone. Is everybody going, oh no, time, I don't have time? It does take time, that's always the kicker, but if there's one thing that spiritual sages throughout all of history have agreed on, it's that silence and solitude is really central to a growing relationship with God. You want to withdraw. Jesus regularly withdrew to a lonely place to pray. He got up before sunrise to do it. I don't do that either, but I'd like to. We need to have a regular time of quiet prayer, preferably at least once a day. There are a lot of prayer practices in the appendix to the discipleship group materials, so try out some different ones. I really have found the welcoming prayer and the centering prayer to be very helpful, but everyone's different at different times, so you could try out a different one. I think there's a dozen of them, so do those over the holidays. And as hard as it might seem, I really urge you to make it a priority to regularly get away for at least half a day, if not a whole day, if not a whole weekend. This could be monthly or quarterly or semi-annual. Just make it a commitment in your calendar and keep it like you would for any friend. There are a lot of retreat centers in the area. You could just come here if it's a nice day with a picnic lunch, sit in the gazebo, walk the labyrinth. A few of us go up to Dayspring near Germantown, which is a really nice little retreat center. They have a beautiful place, and they have regular quiet days from 10 to 2. We're having our annual Advent quiet day here in the barn on December 12th from 10 to 3. And we have childcare this week, so you parents who really need this quiet and solitude, you can come. So we're going to do another during Lent. We'll just be offering some minimal programming and a big chunk of time in silence to walk and pray and write, rest. The times of solitude and silence center us, and they help us hear God's side of the conversation. In her book, Enjoying the Presence of God, Jan Johnson says this: solitude provides a groundedness in God that keeps us from being victims of other people's opinions. I like that. Silence before God helps us see that God can do great things without my fixing and rescuing everyone in need. Anytime we sense an anxious emptiness inside, this becomes a signal to spend time with God and listen for his still, small voice. Gradually, we learn to do this anywhere, under any circumstances. So in silence, we practice learning to listen to the still, small voice, recognizing our shepherd's voice so we can follow him, hearing that voice on the other side of the door and recognizing Jesus so we can invite him in to eat at the table with us. All biblical examples of the importance of listening to God. Did you know that the word obey, that's used so often in the Bible, means hear, listen, in both Hebrew and Greek, so both the Old and New Testaments? The word is Shema, the same word in that Jewish Shema prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Hear, listen. So scriptures about obedience that usually sound like a rule book or a to-do list sound more like love and relationship in their original language. And that listen and hear kind of implies also tending to it, responding to it. It seems a lot gentler to me than obedience. This is what quiet prayer time is all about, listening to God, practicing listening during those quiet times so we can get better at recognizing God's voice all the time and at distinguishing it from our ego voice, which is fearful and judgy and always trying to separate us from other people. Unlike God's voice that seeks oneness and compassion and understanding. Now, I recommend taking a retreat where you can get outside in nature as a way to help you listen to God. I think there's no quicker way to get back to center. Creation is God's first book, and the beauty and the order that we sense there can help us connect with God and I think answer some of our deepest questions, maybe make them not seem so important. We get a different perspective. A couple of years ago, I went out to Dayspring Retreat Center, and I was kind of agitated about God being a man. You know, and I've been reading about it and studying it and trying to control it, kind of, and just, you know, reading the Aramaic and the Hebrew and trying to find other ways to experience God as a loving parent, as a mother, as a, you know, as a birther, rather than as a man. My dad, I love my dad, but he was an alcoholic, and so we did not. That's not the best example for me. So I was out at this pond, and at the end of the pond was this mother goose, and she was sitting like this, and she had, you know, all her little goslings, their little heads sticking out under her wings, and she was just protecting them. And I said, "See, God, that's how I experience you, you know, and it's a mother." And just as I'm thinking this, I was walking towards it, the father goose comes down the hill towards me, you know, with his huffing and puffing, making that goose noise, and, you know, to protect his family. And I just heard loud and clear in my heart, "You need both. I'm both for you." And So it just wasn't so important anymore. And it had been very important 30 seconds before. And, you know, it's not like there was, it wasn't an Aramaic. It was just a, oh, you know. I don't want to sound trite or dismissive, but another way to hear and understand God's heart is through suffering. Personal suffering and societal suffering. Because our hearts know and recognize and cry out for God's kingdom, for God's vision of the world, and God's dream for the world. We have this built-in longing for justice, for all of creation to experience dignity and healthy wholeness and oneness and justice. So when we come up against illness and death or injustice and violence, it's God's heart that cries out in us. Whenever we see about another bombing or a shooting, it's God's heart that's crying. We feel the brokenness that breaks God's heart. And when we experience personal grief, we're longing for everything to be redeemed and healed and whole and reunited. We want to be with the ones that we love, not separated from them, just like Jesus wants us to be one. And this desire for a perfect and complete eternal love and union comes from God. It connects us, and it draws us towards eternal life. When we wail and mourn at separation, I think God gets it and wails with us. Suffering can make us pretty angry, and it can make us doubt God, and that's perfectly understandable. It's all over the Psalms. But I think we're often tracking God when we are sincerely suffering. The Bible says that God is close to the crushed in spirit or the brokenhearted. In the book of Romans, we read this. Also, the Spirit helps us because we are weak or vulnerable. We do not know how we should talk to God, but the Spirit himself talks to God for us while we cry and cannot say any words. When we grieve, we can also often sense God's presence with us, communicating with us through other people, as 2 Corinthians says, that we comfort each other with a comfort that we ourselves have received from the Father of compassion, the Mother of compassion, the God of all comfort. That's how this suffering thing works. We're in it together with God. I think God often speaks to us through others in sorrow and in the everyday, which is why it's so important to nurture relationships within our spiritual community and get connected in our prayer life. That's why we talk about authentic community in our mission statement and our vision statement. Something that we may sense as a nudge from the Holy Spirit might actually be driven by an unhealthy emotional need. We can't always trust what's going on in our guts and our heads, and we might need a close spiritual friend who knows us and cares for us to reflect that back for us. Honestly, this came to mind recently. I was walking a labyrinth with a group of people, and I could see where they were in their circuitous journeys better than I could see where I was, and better than they could see where they were, and they could see where I was better than I could see where I was. So it's kind of, you know, as long as we're all listening to God and honoring one another's journey, I think we can really, the Spirit can communicate through us. Last couple of weeks, we've offered prayer circles after the service, and last week, we tried to help each other listen for the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit might be saying in individual circumstances in that group. Now, these circles are based on a Quaker tradition, and they're sometimes called group spiritual direction. And I think we'll be doing more of that, listening for God together. We have a couple of ongoing prayer communities here that might help you connect with and listen to God. I coordinate the prayer and healing team, which is a group of trained people who can pray with you for physical or emotional healing, visit you in the hospital, offer short-term counseling. We provide professional referrals for longer terms. We'll be doing some retreats and workshops. You'll see some of us in the back on Sundays as prayer servants, and we'll be at the prayer circles for spiritual direction. So can I ask those of you who are here today on the prayer and healing team, could you stand up, please? Thank you. And now keep standing. Get up, get up, get up. Thank you. Happy birthday, Deb, by the way. Stand back up. as part of our team, we have the care circle. I need you guys to keep standing up. This is a growing movement we have here. So we have the care circle, and they send flowers and cards and pray regularly. If you write out your prayers on the side there on Sunday, these are the people who pray for you. And so could you guys please stand up, the care circle folks? Thank you. And some of these people have literally been praying for our community for decades. So these are real prayer warriors, which I'm not crazy about that word, but it works for them. And then we have a new group that started that's meeting every other Monday, and we pray for each other, for the church, for the world's needs, but we devote significant time to silence and just being before the Lord. And Kevin Sterling is coordinating that. He's out of town right now, but could other folks who have been enjoying that group stand up as well? Great. So look around. These are people who love to pray, and they love you. If you need prayer, we're all here for you. And I hope this is a growing group of people. So thank you. You guys can sit down now. Thanks. And of course, if you're in a discipleship group, you pray with each other. And we just help each other experience God through prayer. Today, we're going to be experiencing God in one of my favorite ways, through celebration. As Matthew mentioned, we'll be sharing lunch and decorating for Advent so we can practice the present moment there together and enjoy tasting the soups together and feeling the texture of the bread, unless you're gluten-free, of course, and just really enjoying each other's company, really listening to each other, listening to see what my God might be saying through this person. So I hope you'll stick around for the lunch and the decorating. And I want to end with a thought from Sister Joan Chittister. She is a Benedictine nun and an author, and she has something to say about prayer, and I want to read it to you slowly so you can absorb it. After more than 55 years of growing into a life of prayer through a lifestyle based on it, my definition of prayer is consciousness, immersion, and relationship. Prayer makes us aware of the elements of the divine in human life, bringing us into contact with the God life in us and around us. Prayer brings us to the ultimate and the eternal, the daily and the regular, the total consciousness of God now. Prayer enables us to be immersed in what is fundamentally and truly divine in life right now. It is not meant to be a bridge to somewhere else, because God is not somewhere else. God is here. Prayer is the act of beginning the process of becoming one with the one we seek, eventually melting into God completely, becoming one mind and one heart, as Jesus prayed. So can you leave that up there a little bit? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus did exactly this when he initiated the first communion supper with his disciples on the night he was betrayed and handed over to crucifixion. He made his followers aware of the divine in human life, of the ultimate and the eternal and the daily and the regular. Jesus took regular bread and regular wine and said it was his body and his blood shed in love for all of us. And he asked us to remember this together, to regularly immerse our lives and take into our bodies what is fundamentally, truly, and divine, to melt into God through the bread and wine, to become one. As we share communion, contemplate the union of the divine and the human. You can receive communion from the ministers at the doors on the side, or at these tables here or in the center. There's gluten-free options at the tables. Sing, you can chant. Come up here and kneel at the cross and pray. You can write out your prayers at the sides, and the people you just saw standing will pray for you during the week, or you can come back for real-time prayer with the prayer partners in the back. It's Thanksgiving week. So give a generous gratitude offering at the tables on the side or in the towers in the back. This is your time with God. It's a time to make a new commitment to a life of prayer and connection. And everyone is welcome at the communion table here. Please pray with me this responsive prayer. God of all comfort, God of all grace, God of heaven and earth, join our hearts and minds with yours and make us one, as Jesus prayed. God of glory, God of hope, God of peace, make us aware of your divine life in our human bodies, of the ultimate and the eternal in the daily and regular. May this bread and wine connect us with what is truly divine in life right now. Amen.